Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was preached during a Sunday morning worship service held on the university campus. Following the reading of the scripture from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, our speaker will be Dr. Steve Hankins, Dean of the BJU Seminary. The title of his message is Greater Faith for Greater Fruitfulness.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, Luke chapter 5. Dr. Hankins, who is the Dean of the Bob Jones Memorial Seminary, is our preacher for this morning, and he has asked that we read Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And the Lord will bless the preaching and the reading of his word.
About 30 miles away from here is a little town called Anderson, South Carolina. A few of you have possibly been to that town. For a number of years, I shepherded a flock of believers there in that community. Many wonderful Christians there in that fellowship who are friends for a lifetime. And one of them was a fella and is a fella named Chad Minish. Chad at the time was a single guy, and he was responsible for overseeing the recording ministry there in the church. One of those kind of quiet and to himself sort of fellas. Not a real showboat guy at all. He and his dad were in a partnership and a business there in the community, and still are, and sheetrocking, and they were outstanding at that and in demand by most of the building contractors in the area. Chad was one of these young men that, as a young man in adulthood, was still able to work with his dad, have a great relationship with him. I had a lot of respect for Chad as time went on and I got to know him better, and I learned something else about Chad. He had a reputation church-wide and even area-wide as a fisherman, and more specifically as a bass fisherman. Now, if you like me or a Yankee, you just don't have a full appreciation of that. In this part of the country, if you know how to fish for bass and you're really good at it, you're something akin to somebody who plays in the NBA or the NFL. You're highly regarded, highly respected. So I was quite fascinated about his skills. And finally, one time, Chad invited me to go fishing on one of the lakes that are not far from Anderson, South Carolina. In fact, where the Pro Bass Fisherman National Championship was held once. A lake with a lot of good cover, that's bass fisherman language, where the fish like to hide. And he knew just the place to go, had a pretty much brand new shiny bass boat behind his brand new pickup truck. And he had everything perfectly timed when he would get off that day from his work and pick me up. And we'd go down to the lake to fish. And all of it happened just like it needed to happen. Of course, before the time arrived, I had gotten an interest in bass fishing because so many of the guys in my church were bass fishermen. So in keeping with what a good professor would do, who was also a pastor, I got a book on bass fishing and read all about bass fishing. The biggest mistake I ever made was telling them I got a book about bass fishing.
and tried to learn about it that way. But I got out on the lake that afternoon with Chad. He took off in that bass boat, and we went just to one of his special places and began to move from place to place along the banks. And I was trying to act like I knew what I was doing and casting my line, tried to look like Chad and act like Chad and do like Chad. And there was only one big difference. Chad cast his line in, and he would move his pole, and boom, he'd get a strike and he'd reel in a bass. There it was. And I kept casting, and I kept casting, and I kept casting. Chad cast again. Boom, got another hit. Caught another fish. Boom, caught another fish. Boom, caught another fish. Boom, caught another fish. Finally, along the way, I caught one fish that whole afternoon for several hours. Chad was a great fisherman. He knew the lures. He knew where to go. He knew how to cast. He knew how to move the bait. He taught me some valuable lessons. I want to go out with you this morning on the lake. It's a beautiful day to go out on the lake. Except it's Lake Gennesaret, called also the Sea of Galilee. We're going out with the fisherman of all fishermen, the Son of God, Christ. He's going to teach us about catching fish, but not fish literally so much, really. He's going to teach us a valuable lesson about the importance of greater faith for greater fruitfulness. In the passage of Scripture you read about today, that is really what is being taught about. Greater faith. Christianity in its totality is called the faith in Jude 3. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. But those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is reliance upon, trust in, confidence in Christ. It is reckoning daily, really hourly, in who the person of Christ and the power of Christ and the promises of Christ are in your life as a Christian person. It is diligently seeking God, believing that in fact He will, in this life and eternity, reward you as a Christian person. This is faith. This is trust. And it is the difference between pleasing God and not pleasing God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus on more than one occasion distinguished between strong faith or trust in Him and weak faith in the Scriptures. In Matthew 8:10, when the centurion came to Him and sought Him to heal his servant who was tormented with illness, he trusted the word of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." In a similar instance, in Matthew 15, there was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, another Gentile, just like that centurion, who was a Gentile Roman leader in the army, the Roman legions. This woman, this Syrophoenician, came because her daughter was demon-oppressed. And she begged the Lord to help her and assist her humbly with her daughter and her problem. And the Lord Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith." And yet to His own disciples, He more than once said, as He did in Matthew 8:26 and also in 14:31 and 16:8, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" I can't even enumerate for you how many times walking up the stairway in the alumni building at the library end, my eyes as an undergraduate student would fall on the saying that was on the wall, which asked the probing question in Luke 8:25, "Where is your faith?" And I would read that and walk on past and walk down the hallway, and I would ask myself that question, where is my faith? My weak, my small faith. How can I make my faith greater than it is? You know, the possibility of needing to increase your faith, of choosing greater faith for greater fruitfulness, is revealed if in your own heart, in your own thoughts, and perhaps even verbally, you have found yourself on occasion making statements like, you know, I could just never give that extra money. I've had this urging, it seems, to give. I could never give up that relationship that I've been able to develop. I could never, ever be a Christian school teacher and make all the sacrifices that people make. Who, me? A pastor? No way. That responsibility scares me to death. A missionary? You've got to be kidding. By myself, alone, in the Amazonas region, on a river, with no one there but me and the natives? That scares me to death. I could never do that. But sometimes weak faith or little faith reveals itself in simple practices day by day, like prayerlessness or a constant fear or worry about not having enough time or enough money or not having the job lined up in the future, or an automatic response always to scheme to satisfy and meet the needs that you have without really a thought of looking to Christ and pleading with Christ to help you, or an irritability and a complaining when the pressure is on because there just really isn't the divine help in your life drawn from the means of grace that God intends. If you, in fact, review your life honestly over the last 6 months, you may find that you can't point to a single case of God's undeniable intervention in your behalf to provide, to protect, or to assist you in some way. No, life is just routine, and that's just the way you live, and you fret, and you're anxious, and you're concerned, and you're irritable, and you're frustrated, and your life just goes like that, up and down constantly. These are all indications that it's time to recognize a great need, and recognizing that need is wise, that it is important to have greater faith for greater fruitfulness. Even the apostles recognized this need in Luke 17:5. When they said to the Lord Jesus, when He told them that they needed to be ready and willing to forgive people 70 times 7, in other words, endlessly, when they offend us and do wrong toward us, they said to the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. And you know what? There's a possibility for you to grow your faith. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says these words. Listen to them. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. It is possible and vital for you to see your faith become greater faith for greater fruitfulness as a Christian. And that confidence and trust in Jesus Christ is a very real possibility. In this incident that we find here in Luke 5, we don't have the initial call of Peter, James, and John to the ministry. That had already happened, and the parallel passages reveal that. There had been ministry go on already. Christ had been at the synagogue at Nazareth. Christ had preached to the multitudes and healed the multitudes already. This is a second later occasion after those initial ministry activities. And here is Peter, James, and John back fishing. And Christ comes to them as he's been preaching to the multitudes and sees this empty boat and goes out onto the lake, the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, and is preaching to the crowds. And what we have happening here is an instance, a case right at the beginning of a time of greater faith and greater fruitfulness in the lives of these men, when the Son of God, when Jesus Christ, is explicitly, while He goes out on that lake and using the model and example of fishing, teaches them about the vital nature of greater faith for greater fruitfulness. A greater faith and greater fruitfulness that did follow in their lives from that point forward. And beautifully, wonderfully, our Lord Jesus, the great object of our faith, the one who we trust, who we may trust, we can trust, presents essential ways that we as believing people can choose to have that greater faith that leads to greater fruitfulness. And I want you to see that choosing to have greater faith leading to this greater fruitfulness happens when we resolve to obey. When we choose to obey, we can show our faith and grow our faith as believing people. They had been fishing all night, the text said, and they'd been unsuccessful. But the Lord Jesus says to them, if you look with me in the verses, in verse 4 of chapter 5, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, in Luke 5, 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And there's an objection. Peter says, Master, we've been fishing all night. We've been unsuccessful. This hasn't gone well. And the Lord Jesus then responds or urges them again that they go ahead and do that, and they in fact did respond that way. And there was a great multitude of fish caught. In order to respond in faith and show and grow our faith as believers through obedience, we have to address and deal with really what I would call two kinds of carnal thinking that will face down that inclination to obey. And that is, as verse 5 says, an apparent lack of previous success means there will be no success. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. A lack of success means there'll never be any success. In the walk of faith and service for Christ, men and women, a lack of endurance spiritually is the death, absolute death of any spiritual endeavor, and the assurance and insurance that there will be no greater fruitfulness. Dr. Hankins, I've struggled so long with this course. I'm just giving up. I've prayed for years for this relative of mine to be saved, and they're still not saved. I've tried and tried to get over this sin problem, and I just cannot seem to break this thing. Listen, Romans 3, 5, verse 3 says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 says that we are to believe all things, to bear all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Endurance in obedience is a secret to increasing, growing, and showing our faith. You know, another way of thinking that rises up that will fight against your continued ongoing obedience to Christ to show and grow your faith? It is to say something like this. You know, circumstances just aren't right for this endeavor to succeed spiritually. You'll notice in verse 5 that Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night. It's morning time. The feeding time for the fish is over. This isn't the right time to do this. There's no way that there will be success. But men and women, what we're being taught in this passage of Scripture is that when we think there isn't enough time, when we think there isn't enough money, when we think there isn't enough energy, when there isn't enough concentration, when the timing doesn't seem right, where things are off, just really off course, it seems to us, that there is something profound coming through in this passage from the Son of God, the living Son of God, at the right hand of God the Father, that is saying, listen to me, obey me, endure in obedience, and you will show, and you will grow your faith, and you will please me. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. The whole record of church history is full of people who didn't seem to have enough ability, enough energy, enough means to accomplish what appeared to be the impossible, who did just that. The Bible is filled in its record of the faithful, as you look in Hebrews chapter 11, with people who faced odds and circumstances that were as mountains that needed to be moved. And in the words of the Lord Jesus, if you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, move, and it will be removed. And while, men and women, this is not encouraging a passive attitude where we don't make any efforts or show any kind of determination or set any goals, it's not urging that, but it is telling us that confidence in the Son of God is the answer, the secret to the accomplishment of the impossible. For with God, all things are possible. You can be more than you are today. You can be better than you are today. You can accomplish greater things for God than you're accomplishing today. You can do what does seem to be impossible. And this is not just wishful thinking. This is just not the power of positive thinking. This is Christian faith in the living Son of God. Choose greater faith for greater fruitfulness as a believer. Choose it. God wishes for you to have it.
The Bible teaches us that obedient faith brings a surprising effect. When they had done this, verse 6 says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. They did what was commanded, and there was a remarkable result. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. This faith, men and women, comes by hearing, and this kind of hearing comes by listening to the Word of God. As Christ speaks, we hear, we respond, and there is great fruitfulness that results. So meditate. So pray for the Word to run and have free course in your life. So work to apply Scripture to particular struggles and difficulties and sins in your life, because there will be born in your life confidence in God, faith in God as a result of that Word and your desire and efforts to respond to it. I think the most surprising effect of obedience to God's commandments is recorded in John 14:21, where the Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and we will love him, and we will manifest ourselves to him. Or as 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And men and women, when I by faith and you by faith obey God's commandments, we trust what he says, we are showing, as in no other way, our love for God, which is the accomplishment of the greatest commandment. As we step out and trust what God says and do what God says. And in showing that faith, we will also be growing our faith as we see God do wonders as a result of our confidence in the Word.
You choose to obey to show and grow your faith. But Jesus also teaches us here that we not only choose to obey, but we choose also to fall down in humility to show and grow our faith. Would you look at the reaction of Peter in this instance, beginning in verse 8? When Simon Peter saw this incredible catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. This incident teaches us some vital lessons about the connection between humility and showing and growing your faith. Obedience, blessed by God, leads to a keener sense of humility. Peter was very ashamed after the remarkable result. What happened? He realized how foolish it was for him to question, to doubt the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place. And this created in him a greater sense of dependence, a greater sense of his own sinfulness as he stood before God. And do you realize that that is a secret to greater trust and dependence on God? When we are humbled by the favor of God, we then look to God in greater dependence, greater faith, and enjoy greater fruitfulness. There is a cycle that happens here. As you step out in obedience to God's commands, you see the favor and blessing of God, the remarkable catch of fish, whatever that particular catch of fish may be in your life experience in a particular place. And when you see that, you are brought to a point of recognizing how good and gracious God is to a weak, semi-doubting person who really deserves nothing from God at all. And your dependence is made greater. A genuine recognition of your own weakness makes you a candidate for the greater favor and blessing of God. Look at the record of Scripture. And all the great ones in the eyes of God have the same testimony. Listen to Job, who was a man of God like none other in the earth, when he said in 42:5-6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." What about Isaiah, the great prophet? When he saw God high and lifted up, how did he respond? "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." What did Paul say in Romans 7? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" One theologian put it this way, guys, girls, that humility isn't a posture. It's not acting like you're unworthy of anything. It's just simply recognizing that what there is in you of any good and any usefulness is there by the grace of God and for the glory of God. And therefore you have Paul making statements like 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." But remember, God resists the proud, James 4:6 says, but gives grace unto the humble. Remember 1 Peter 5:5, where the Scriptures say, "Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." The humbled person who recognizes their weakness when they've seen the favor of God is in a position to have the grace of God poured out in their life for greater faith and greater fruitfulness. Now, there's something very encouraging here, though, because there is a danger. There is a danger that this humility can cross over into a weakness and a timidity. that says, you know, who am I to ever really expect anything from God? Who am I to ever enjoy the favor and the goodness of God in my life? I've disobeyed so many times. I've failed so miserably. How can I or why should I ever expect God to do anything for me? I'm weak. I'm too young. I'm limited intellectually. There's nothing really special about me, Dr. Hankins. I'm not one of the gifted ones. I'm not a big man on campus. I'm not a big woman on campus. There's nothing special about my leadership skills. How can God ever use me? I'm intimidated by the idea that I'm going to go out and serve God and try to accomplish something from God. I'll probably just fail. I'll probably just be average like I am at everything else I do. What's the point? Well, the point is verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon," to Peter, in other words, "fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." You know something? God uses the weak to confound the mighty. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God hath not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but has given you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. God says in John 15:16, in the words of the Lord Jesus, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear much fruit." Reject fear of failure in ministry to both show and grow your faith. This is what the Son of God is teaching you. That this isn't about you, and it isn't about your capacity. It's about the Son of God. It's about the power of God. It's about the ability of God. It's about you turning your face in faith and trust to Jesus Christ, who said, "I have chosen you that you will go forth and you will bear much fruit. I have chosen you, the base things of this world, to confound the mighty. I have chosen you. I've saved you. That I can show to the world what happens when a person is filled with the Spirit of the living God and trusting in the living Son of God." We replace that fear with a settled assurance that we can have spiritual influence. Henceforth, thou shalt catch men. You free yourself of the encumbrances to your faith, that you may turn from failure. Look at the last verse. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." How that just seems to echo right down through the caverns of Scripture in Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and suffered the pain and death." This is your captain. This is your Savior. This is your Lord, the one who authored the concept of faith and who beckons you to have that faith in that climactic verse after chapter 11 of Hebrews, which tells you all about the heroes of faith. To forsake those things that are an encumbrance to you. And what is that? A relationship? A pursuit of money, material things? Some ambition that you have What Christ is saying to you is that if you're going to successfully reject fear of failure in ministry, you have to lay aside the encumbrances and you have to give him a blank check. To show and grow your faith, you say this. Here's what's printed on the check to the Son of God. Anywhere, anytime, with anyone, to do anything or do it alone. I'm laying it all aside, Lord. And I'm laying aside my fear of failure in ministry to people. And I'm fixing my gaze on you. Because, Lord Jesus, I want greater faith in order to have greater fruitfulness for the glory of your name, because you have chosen me and ordained me that I go and bear much fruit. That can be true of you if you will choose to obey. If you, as a servant of God, will fall down in humility before Him and utter dependence, and if you'll reject the fear of failure in ministry. Shall we bow our heads together in prayer? Well, their heads bowed remarkably after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in John 21. Peter faced a similar failure in his own life, and the Lord Jesus performed an identical miracle, a catch of fish, to recommission him. And as you've listened this morning, you've found yourself saying, "Oh, I'm not even close to where I need to be in my faith in Christ." Well, then choose to obey. Launch out at His commands. I need to have that humility you were talking about, Dr. Hankins. That greater dependence on the Lord. Well, then break yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. I've been so fearful, so nervous, and so unwilling to really give myself over to Christ for fear I'd fail in ministry if I ever really chose to serve Him. Resolve to reject your fear and believe in a future of fruitfulness as you lay aside the encumbrances of sin and the weights, and you follow His assurances that you will catch men. I'd like us to stand to our feet together at this time, and the choir is going to begin to sing a stanza of "Nearer, Still Nearer," with their heads bowed and eyes closed before the Lord. And as they sing, as God has spoken to your heart, God has dealt with you, and you'd say, I am determined by the grace of God this morning that I must have greater faith for greater fruitfulness. God has spoken to my heart. I need to go to the place of prayer. I need to be on my knees and resolve to obey. I need to be on my knees and humble myself before God, and I need to reject this fear. And right now, as they sing this first stanza, you're going to slip from where you're standing and you're going to come to the place of prayer. And make those resolves before God, just as they sing this very first stanza. I invite you to come right now. Don't hesitate, as God has spoken to you. Amen. Jesus says, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to that place of prayer. Don't hesitate.
coming. The place is there for you. You are singing another stanza. Just come to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, greater faith or greater fruitfulness. That's what I want. Help me. Amen. Someone else. Come right ahead. Plays another stanza with their heads bowed. Say, Dr. Hankins, the cry of my heart this morning in response to the Word of God is, oh God, greater faith for greater fruitfulness. Help me, Lord. Help me. I lift my hand to you now, Lord, with that prayer right now. God, help me. Amen. Others. Amen. Help me, Lord. Greater faith for greater fruitfulness. Give me your grace. Others who lift their hand to the Lord right now. Amen. Any others? Amen. I want to invite you to take your hymn books right now and turn to page 339. With the choir, we'll sing together the last stanza of this hymn. Nearer, still nearer, the last stanza. Dear Father, we praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His wonderful intercessory ministry for us now, for the wonderful promises that You've given us concerning fruitfulness for Thee, the invitation that Thou hast given us to come unto Thee, to seek Thee, and to know Thy favor because You are our God and are ready and willing to reward us.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Steve Hankins, Dean of the BJU Seminary. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. This program has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.